Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
All right, teachable part four. We ready? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. Lord, I sense a good teaching anointing here this morning. Father, I thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that we've prayed for, we've believed you for. Father, I thank you that even from the depths of knowledge that have already been received through the years in all of us that have been believers, and then those who haven't maybe and don't know as much, but have some knowledge of you, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're going to take that knowledge and bring enlightenment to our minds today. We believe you for it corporately. We thank you for it and know that you're good, that we will see truth that sets us free. Father, areas where maybe there's been hindrances, where the enemy has been able to keep back breakthrough, Lord, I ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to flow there. Lord, I yield myself to you. Give me utterance and boldness to speak as I ought to speak. And speaking the truth forth in love, we will see victory in our lives in every area. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. All right, so we've been talking about being teachable. There are a couple of quotes that we have stated. Some people will never learn anything because they understand everything too soon. The Christian that is unteachable has declared that they are walking in the fullness of the stature of Christ. Brother Hagin said this, the more I learn, the less I see I know. So in other words, truth should be a progressive thing, amen? And then we looked at some different passages, and I don't want to get into those because I'll teach on them, and bless the Lord, we'll get stuck. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, this is where we left off last week, and I was able to get a little bit into it, but not a lot, and I want to get a lot into it so we can move on to something else, hopefully this morning. I can just tell you this, I never preach all my notes. Not even close. But I got them, just in case. Amen. All right, Proverbs chapter 1, and I just want to skip down straight off to verse 7. And then we're going to go back through it and look at what the fear of the Lord brings to us. So go ahead and skip down all the way to verse 7, and we'll read that. It says this in the New King James Version, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." The reverent, this is the Amplified, "The reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is the beginning and the principal and the choice part of knowledge, its starting point and its essence. But fools despise skillful and godly wisdom, instruction, and discipline." Now, the word fear means reverence, it means respect and piety. The fear of God. It's used of a person standing in an exalted position or standing in awe. This is not simple fear, but reverence, whereby an individual recognizes the power and position of the individual revered and renders him proper respect. In this sense, the word may imply submission to a proper ethical relationship to God. The angel of the Lord told Abraham, "I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." So in other words, what does that show us in what Abraham did? He gave basically his whole life to God. Can you imagine you couldn't have kids? And then you get a kid? And then God says, "Give me the kid back." What is going to be revealed when God puts a demand on something that you believed for? Come on. That you believe for. What is going to be revealed in that moment? Your reverence for God. Does that make sense? So that's what's being stated here. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So really, if our heart is not right, we're not teachable. Have you ever met somebody unteachable? Now, here's the thing about this. There are some things, obviously, that you shouldn't have your mind open to. But we're not just talking about anything. We're talking about the things of God. From the scripture. So I'm not teaching on this right now, but obviously the Lord commands us to check reference through the word about what's being taught. Go back and look to see if what's being taught is biblical. We need to judge in that sense. Do you understand what I'm saying? But an unteachable person, this is a hard heart. This is an issue of the heart. This is somebody who says, in the middle of the Word of God being taught, in their heart, they're going, I already know this. Come on, no show of hands, I'll just raise mine. How many have ever sat in a service and thought, why are they going over this? I need to hear something else. You sure? I don't know about you. You know, I know for me, when I go to share, when I go to preach, I don't just go, Lord, I need something. Let me look through the Rolodex of the messages that I have. I never do that. In fact, the Lord will say to me, I want you to teach on this, and I'll think, we don't need to hear on that. I don't follow my thought. You're all thankful, right? It's like, slap the spirit of stupid out of that guy, would you? In other words, I have flesh and a natural mind, but I don't follow that. I follow here. See, if you were in leadership this morning with Pastor Mike, you would have known that he talked about speaking and being led by the Holy Spirit from within. Because your natural mind can have a wrong perspective, but your heart never misses it when it's led by the Holy Spirit. Amen? And your head will go, we don't need to do that. And your heart will go, shut up, we need to do this. Come on, everybody. Sometimes you just need to wake up in the morning on Sunday or on Monday morning, look in the mirror, grab yourself by the back of the head and go, you are going to obey the word of God today, flesh, whether you like it or not. And I'm just going to smile even though I don't feel like it all day long. And your flesh is going to, your flesh is no different than an infant's flesh. It wants to pitch a fit just like an infant does. But when you have the worshipful, the reverential, the fearful worship of the Lord, where you're not scared of him, but you're in awe of him, and you have a respectful attitude, understanding who he is, and you in comparison to him, and what he's called you to, and what he's done for you, you take this place of, Lord, your word is right. Come on, how many have ever woke up in the morning, you go to do your devotion, you're like, man, I just don't feel like it. That's just your flesh. That's just your flesh. You know, I do devotion every day of the week, even on Sundays, before I get here, and I'm not even preaching on it. Why? I better be fed. You say, well, you're a preacher. If you could only come to some of the preacher things I go to, and you heard the people, the ministers that do not read the word for themselves. The devil's going to eat your lunch. Amen? If you don't have the word in you, and we have to have that reverential attitude where we're going, Lord, you've given me all of this, but here. Whew, how many know God's a multiplier? And when you give back, he multiplies back to you. Amen? How many think Abraham was glad he gave Isaac? Some of you might be hanging on to something, and you think you're like, this is my blessing, and you don't realize what God's got stuck in the bush for you.
That's right. Come on.
Hallelujah. See, the whole time you're trying to hang on to what you have, there's a ram wandering around, not knowing why it's going where it's going. And it's going to see something shiny in a bush near you where you're sacrificing and giving up. You don't notice it at first. Abraham didn't notice the ram until after. And that ram's going to stick his head in the bush and get stuck. That ram's going, what's going on? And Abraham looks up and goes, provision. Come on. But when we're reverential, when we're fearful, and I use that term, I know a lot of times people think, this is not fearful of a rattlesnake. Or like a tornado or something like that, or earthquake or, you know, plane crash or something. It's none of that stuff. It's an awe of God. It's a respect to him. And when you do that, there opens up to you a realm of understanding, a realm of wisdom and revelation, where you've sat in church for years reading certain scriptures, not even understanding what they are. But when that heart, those heart adjustments, those inside adjustments have been made, all of a sudden those scriptures get this light on them and through them that you did not understand before. And there's a breaking forth in your mind, and all of a sudden you understand that's what it means. Come on, how many have ever looked at something, look at something, and all of a sudden you go, I see it. Have you ever had truth go off on the inside of you? I live for this daily. I'm like an addict. I'm a word addict. I wake up, I open this thing up, and I start reading, and it's not many verses in. All of a sudden, boom, fireworks start going off on the inside of me. And I'm not thinking about problems. I'm not thinking about anything else. I'm thinking about, Lord, your word is working. Here we go. Come on, let's move forward. This is going to be great. We're going to overcome because we always win in Christ because we've won. Christianity is not begging God to do something. It's running around enforcing what he's already done. Hallelujah. Yeah, come on, right? That's what it is. Christianity is realizing I'm not working for a place. I'm working from a place. And that place is called seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There is no situation you're in that does not already have a breakthrough established. It doesn't exist. Jesus has already given you the victory. This heart attitude of reverence must be in place before we are teachable. This is the beginning, the entrance point. The fear of the Lord is described in the previous verses by the way the individual goes after wisdom. They attain, they purchase it, they increase in it, they give their ear to it with an open mind, they receive it. This to me sounds like fear. The Passion Translation says this, this is much more than the English concept of fear. It also implies submission, awe, worship, and reverence. You will pass from darkness to wisdom's light by the fear of the Lord. You will pass from darkness, come on, to wisdom's light by what? The fear of the Lord. You won't approach your situations in panic. You'll approach them in faith and purpose. Amen. Because when you understand who lives in you, the fear of who's outside of you goes away. Come on. Come on. Come on. I was flying back from a Winter Bible Seminar last year, and we're in a, I don't even know what the, it was an Airbus, I think, but it was packed. You know, they, because the night before the flight got canceled. What a blessing, huh? And so everybody from that flight had to get on our flight. Well, thankfully, praise the Lord, we were going 512 miles an hour through the air. That's awesome. I mean, what if we could do that in a car? I'd be here quick in the morning. Yeah. Anyway, so we're doing 512 miles an hour. The only reason I know that is because we have a couple of guys, Timothy and Terrell Faw, they work at the airport, and they looked to see our, they're waiting for us to come in. They looked to see on the airplane thing that they have some sort of something, they can look it up. Anyway, we were going 512 miles an hour. And so we're coming out of Denver, and we're flying, and I'm looking out the window, and because it was clear, it was awesome. You know, it was, there wasn't a bunch of clouds and all that stuff. You could see forever. How many like that? You could see just forever. So I'm looking out the window and just, and watching, and the lady next to me, she's a Catholic lady, right? So every little bump. I mean, the guy behind me had studied, spent hours studying turbulence before we got on. So he's talking about it. And I'm just like, wow, praise the Lord. You know, it's not like you can just get off, you know what I mean, once you're in the air. So anyway, I'm sitting in there and I'm, you know, I mean, how many have ever experienced that? There's turbulence coming out of a place, okay? So we're flying, and it's not major. It wasn't even a real rough. It's just a little bit. I've been in way rougher, landing into Tulsa. But anyway, the lady next to me breaks out her necklace with one of the, I don't know, it wasn't a rosary. It was one of the saints. You know, the little, I don't know what they are, so you'll have to forgive me. Yeah, I think it was. It might have been. Anyway, and she starts rubbing that thing every time turbulence. You know, every time there's a little bump. And I said, and she goes, and she's just nervous. You know, she's wrought up. And I said, you know, we have Psalms 91. That's what I said to her. And she said, what's that? She's not been pastored correctly. I'm not talking about she needs rebuked. She needs educated. She is in a place of fear where she doesn't have to be. Because he who dwells, Saint Christopher's in heaven or somewhere, but here's the thing, he can't help me. But the angels on my left and the angels on my, they can help me. And the resurrection within me, he can help me. Come on. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord. I'm not rubbing some little necklace. No. Out of my mouth I will declare, he is my refuge and my strength. He is my God. He protects me. Come on. He is all around me. I did not get on that plane alone. I went with Mike, Jody, and Heidi, but I'm not counting on them. Who is with me? Those angels. I never go alone. I went flying with my father-in-law a few years ago, and it was a what? What kind of plane was it? Thank you. Yes. Cessna 172? Is that what it was? Have you ever been in a Cessna 172? Some of you have. Okay. I'm not a huge guy. And my father-in-law is not real big either. But there's not a lot of space in that thing. And there's something mental about going flying with your father-in-law. You know, I don't know what it is. You get on an airplane, you don't even know who the pilot is, but you, in your mind, you're just like, well, they should know what they're doing. But all, I've known Terry for how many years now? 25 years or so? He never flew a plane prior to that. I drove in the truck with him to go to work. But this was something totally, but you know what? The morning to go fly and the night before, I did not let myself get afraid. I did not. I felt a lot of things. But you know what I did? I went flying. Some people, I don't know who I'm talking to, but somebody in here. Like, I'm not going anywhere ever. Why? Well, I might die. You could die walking out your front door. Why am I on this? What? Remain teachable, please. Just receive the word. I don't even know. That was a rabbit trail, and I was led away, led astray. Come on, say it with me. I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. Amen? There's hope for your family. There's hope for your marriage. There's hope for your kids. There's hope if you put your hope in the word of the Lord, if you're teachable. Amen? So let's look at this. Let's go back to verse 1, Proverbs 1:1. Praise the Lord. And let's look at what the fear of the Lord does. So Proverbs 1:1 says this, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. So when we're in the fear of the Lord, when we have reverence for him, there comes a knowing. There comes knowledge, there comes perception, there comes insight. So in your relationship with the Lord, you should be continually seeing things you didn't see before. Okay? And these things are like building blocks. They build on the truth, the foundation of Christ that you've already received. And out of them, what happens is you develop and develop and develop and develop and develop like you should. And I'm not talking about, you know, sometimes people think that revelation sort of, it comes from out here and kind of lands in your heart. I'm going to offer a different thought here from the prayers that we see in the epistles. I'm going to tell you this, that it comes from the Holy Spirit here and enlightens you here. Because see, there's one specific thing. You notice when you get into the New Testament, once you're born again, you are told to do two things. You're told to deal specifically with two things in your personal life. One is your flesh, the other is your mind. Your flesh must be crucified, the desires of it, and your mind must be renewed. And as that takes place, what takes place is from within you because you've been born of divine seed. It's been placed within you. It's incorruptible seed. From within you, the Lord begins to open up to your mind by the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, understanding about your authority and who you are in Christ. Because see, the old man passed away. If I said to you that so-and-so passed away, what would you know? They're no longer with us. So who you were before Christ is dead. In the spirit, your body will be renewed. You know, sometimes people are like, man, I wish my body be renewed right now. I'm with you. But something has to happen for that to happen. We got to hear a sound. And then we'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, so revelation from within your spirit, then the Holy Spirit, you begin to see it in your mind. You begin to understand it. Now, the wonderful thing about this is this. Out of your spirit, when it is renewed, when your spirit, the Spirit of God within you, and you get revelation to your mind, there's an understanding that comes forth. What's connected to your mind? What's connected to your thoughts? Your words are connected there. Your emotions are connected there. Everything's connected there. It's a part of your soul. And so what takes place is this. Many times people have this issue. Their mind is still connected to their flesh, and that's why you never see the resurrection that's in them. In other words, the Lord said it to me this way years ago. He said, Sean, an unrenewed mind and an out-of-control flesh will lock up the resurrection of Christ that is within you. So don't ever say, I can't love that person. Because Jesus did, and his love lives in you. Amen. I didn't say you had to trust him. I said, you could love them. Amen? You can love the way Jesus... What if Jesus waited to do for us and obey God for us based on our obedience? Come on, what if Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, they're sleeping. They're not even praying for me. Oh boy, this stuff hits home, doesn't it? They're sleeping. They're not even doing. I'm not going to do what I'm supposed to do because they're not doing what. That's grade school. Come on, everybody's got flesh, right? What are we commanded to do? We're commanded to obey. Let me just take this to a whole nother level for you. We are empowered to obey. You're working from a place, not for a place. You have enough power in you to dominate your flesh all the days of your life. Amen. Come on. Isn't that good? The grace and mercy of God every day. We're growing. We're developing. A year from now, I'm going to look different than I do right now. Come on. How about you? Everything's going to... Why? Because you're going to follow. You're going to obey. You're going to fear the Lord. Let's look at a few more of these and then we'll wrap it up. Verse number 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. The Amplified says, receive instruction in wise dealing and the discipline of wise thoughtfulness, righteousness, justice, and integrity. Receive means to accept. See, if you're reverential, you receive from the Lord. You know what unteachable people will do? They'll do this. I can't learn from that person. They don't have a master's degree. And there are quote-unquote smart people that have high education that are fools because they don't fear the Lord. They don't even believe in God. You can have, I love this. This is said about the apostles. I just love this. I love this statement. I'm like, there's hope for me. But when they were brought before the religious leaders of their day, it says they could tell that they were ignorant or unlearned men. But you know what else they could tell? That they had been with Jesus. I'll take the Holy Ghost over your big education any day of the week. Now, I prefer both. Because you can hold both. I'm not saying everybody that's educated is wrong, because that's not the case. But when you glorify the mind over the heart, you limit the revelation that's accessible or operable in your life. I got to say that again. When you glorify the mind over the heart, over your spirit, When you glorify natural knowledge over spiritual knowledge, you limit the ability of God to take you where he has already planned for you to be taken and already provided for you. You have an answer. He's in you. Amen. You have an answer. He's in you. You can perceive, and you got to receive that instruction. Part of instruction is correction and discipline. Are you correctable? Are you teachable? Do you receive discipline? That's part of being teachable. Do you allow, well, that person's too young. They can't teach me anything. Okay. Well, I can't receive from them. They're not the right skin color. Well, I can't receive from them. They're not the right gender. Ooh, hit those nerves. Just hit them. Well, they haven't been saved as long as I have. Out of the mouths of babes. Come on, I've gotten revelation reading a billboard. And let me just help you with something, and me. If Jesus has to, he used a donkey. Just remember, highly educated one, he used a donkey. Amen? See, we have to be teachable. When we're teachable, we're not gullible. We'll receive the information without... What if you were extremely thirsty, but you said, I don't drink out of blue cups, and all the water was in a blue cup? You need to drink, brother, because you're going to die of dehydration. Come on. Do you see that? But when we're teachable, we go, oh, there it is right there. Well, this minister ministers, but I don't come to church when they do because I like this one better. Paul called that carnality. Well, they just don't have the same personality as you do. You know, listen, all of that stuff. I'm not saying you have to choose to listen to somebody that is, but if the minister steps up and they're presenting the word of God inside of us, we should immediately do this to the word. Amen. And hear it. Why? Because God's speaking and we can learn. Amen? We can learn. We can receive instruction. We can receive wisdom, which means good sense. How many know some people that could use some good sense? Good sense is something that has to be disciplined into a child. The ability to make wise choices is not something a person is just born with. How many have noticed that? Nor is it something we just luck into. This kind of wisdom is not a natural gift. It is an acquired habit. It is a fellowship with the Lord where things are coming in. You're beginning to see and understand who you are in Him, and then you begin to change the way you talk, change the way you walk, change the way you smile, change the way you dress, change the way you deal with your money, change the way you deal with your spouse, change the way you deal with your kids. Come on, change the way you deal with your business, your employees. Come on both sides of it. Not only do you give them mercy, but when it's time to correct, I know people that refuse to correct because they're afraid to. They don't want to deal with anything. They don't want no confrontation. We live on the planet. How many are married in here? How many have never had confrontation? I am going to have an altar call for this section over here. I got a prophetic word for you. Come on. You're in a church. Has anybody ever done anything or said anything that was confrontational in a church? They parked in my spot. That's my chair. You notice we don't put no name tags on the chairs. But when you're yielded to the Lord and you're growing in wisdom and understanding, you begin to function in a different way. I loved what Pastor Mike said this morning, talking about a disciple is, and I wrote it this way. He didn't state it this way, but this is the way I heard it. A disciple is looking to give. They're looking to sow into. They're not just looking to receive. I'm gonna say a statement right now, and I'm going to close with this, and I want you to hear it, and it's going to make some of you upset. But I want you to think about it and pray about it, please. Don't just blow it off like, oh, I don't need to hear that. Some of you have been in the church for years, and we've all done, in fact, this word is for me. And we've all done this. We've heard things, and we've defaulted to asking people to pray rather than making adjustments in repenting in our own lives. There is a default right now in the church, and it's been around for years. I mean, I don't think anything has changed, but it's even stronger now. When we ran all the Facebook ads, which we did, and the things that we, I'm telling you what, God will move in your life, but he expects change. Now, I'm not telling you you have to be perfect. I'm telling you you have to be repentant. You say, what does that mean? That means to change course. So in other words, we talked about this last week, and this is part of being teachable. If you continue to just keep hitting your thumb with the hammer, but keep asking prayer for healing, come on, think about it. Okay, I know it's a funny example, but there has to be that place where we're in that place of, Lord, okay, obviously this hasn't changed. I have knowledge of what your will is here, and my life is not lining up with it. Lord, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Show me, and I will change. Come on, and you can go so far as to do this. And Lord, obviously, I'm not exercising my will like I should. I need greater grace here, Lord. Help me make these adjustments. Come on, let me give you just a basic example. The other day, I'm driving around with my wife, and we have to go to these different places. And normally, when we go to a store, and I even said it, like a ding-dong, right before we got there. But I said, we were going into, what was it, Hobby Lobby? Yeah, we were going into Hobby Lobby to pick up something for Taylor. And I said, okay, I said, are you going to get a lot of things there? And she said, no. She said, no. And I said, okay, well, I'll just drop you off in the front. You can go in and then come back out. I didn't even think about it. I went and parked and went with her. And then when we were coming out, she was like, oh, you're just doing the sweetest things. And I'm like, trying to figure out, you know, what I did. Y'all pray for me, would you? I was trying to figure out what I did, you know, but I went into the store. See, what you don't know is I'm in my prayer closet by myself going, Lord, I got to love my wife better. I got to show her more, but you're going to have to help me because I'm dense, Lord. Listen, I was not raised necessarily in a home where doing these things was a common thing. You know what I mean? And so I'm very this way, and maybe you are too. I'm very project-oriented, goal-oriented. How many have noticed that about me? You haven't worked with me close if you haven't noticed it. I'm goal-oriented. I like, this is where we're going. And people are like, well, this, look at the stuff on the side of the road while we're going. I'm like, we're not here to look at the stuff. We're going there. I'm connecting with somebody right now. Just, I can feel the anointing just flowing right now. And my wife is not that way. She's, you know, she's saved my bacon more than once. I'll just tell you that. Can I get a witness, men? Am I the only one, right? So I am that way. I'm like, you know, people say, stop and smell the roses. I'm like, well, once we complete that, we can go back and look at the roses. But not until we get to there, you know. So I'm learning. Everybody stretch your hand towards me. I'm just kidding. I've gotten better, haven't I? Yeah, praise the Lord. I open the door for my wife. I mean, not all the time, for the car. You say, why do you do that? Because the Lord told me to. Because I love my wife. Amen? She's a gift from God, right? I got to answer to somebody. And it's not just my father-in-law. It's my father in heaven-in-law. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what's taking place is I've been more open to being teachable, and there are many times where I haven't been. How many of you know you can be willing and not necessarily be obedient? Do you know you can be obedient and not be willing? The idea is to be both. So even if you have a bad attitude about you, you need to go, Lord, I got a bad attitude, but I do love you, and I'm going to do this anyway. And you'll find grace for what you need to do. Okay? Would you stand with me, please? So don't just ask for prayer. Amen? Don't just ask for prayer. Look at your life, pray. If you need prayer, we'll pray with you. We'll pray right after service if you need it. We're glad to agree with you and believe God for wisdom, believe God for healing, baptism of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in other tongues, all of that. We're glad to do that. Glad to believe God for you, for finances, for change, all those things. But even in the midst of financial struggle, do you have a budget? Amen? There's a combination of things that needs to happen. There's not only needs to be the spiritual or the supernatural power of God moving in your life, but there needs to be some adjustments in the way you talk, the way you think, the way you act, how you do things. Amen? If you have an addiction to cookies, you don't need to go down the cookie aisle at the grocery store. At least for now, I'm meddling, right? Yeah. He went from spiritual to natural, just like that. You know, if ice cream, okay? Trust me, I've been off it for a while. Ooh, Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay? There's both sides of it, but the biggest thing is be teachable. Be willing to admit, you know, maybe there's something there I don't see yet. Maybe there's something there I just don't see. Lord, show me. Holy Spirit, show me how it works for me many times, and maybe it's different for you, but I'll just be going through my life, driving, doing whatever I'm doing. A lot of times the Holy Spirit will speak to me when I'm driving because I must not be thinking much. I'm just kind of, you know, going. And it'll be a few days later, and I'll just get it. Boom, there it is right there. I got it. It just rises within my heart. Simple things, little things. Don't just look for an open heaven, a vision of angels, a choir singing. You say that doesn't, you don't believe that happens? Of course I do. But most of the time you're going to be led by the Spirit of God within you. It's going to be enlightenment from within to your head. And it's going to be little adjustments. Well, you know, I have an offense in that area toward that person, and I just need to let that go. Right? Okay? Just little things. It could be little things like that. Well, maybe I thought this was what God wanted me to do, and it seems like it still is, but maybe I'm trying to get ahead of him a little bit, or maybe it's just not right now. Does that make sense? Those simple little things. And then the other side of it, guys, is this. Remove the plank from your own eye first. Don't sit in the service where God's speaking and go, man, I wish my spouse was here. Am I the only one that's human in this place? Or man, so-and-so needs to hear this, yet God knew you'd be here. Right? Did he know it? Does God generally know where everybody is on the planet? He knows how many hairs you have on your head. He knows where you're at. Amen? Okay? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus if you have not, or to rededicate your life to the Lord if you need to. If there's anybody here that needs to have that relationship restored or be born again for the first time, I just want you to raise your hand where you're at. Praise God. Thank you. Yes. Anybody else? Okay, let's pray right now. And you can repeat after me. Just repeat after me if you would. Say, Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I need to yield my life to Jesus Christ. Father God, I give you my heart. Holy Spirit, fill me up. Cleanse me by the blood of Jesus. I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior right now. I declare my old life, my old self in the Spirit, me, is gone, and I'm a new creation right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for saving me. I will live and dedicate my whole life to you, and I know heaven is my future home in Jesus' name. Amen. let me just say this. If you did pray that prayer, thank you, Heidi. We have a Bible for you and a book here, New Believer's Book. You come see me right after service. If you need prayer for anything else, guys, Rick and Luann will be up here, and Heidi and I will be up here as well to pray with you and for you. God bless you guys. Did you get anything? Just go and be happy, why don't you? Amen? And we'll see you Wednesday night. God bless you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.